Hey everybody, it's Off The Ball, it's Gerard Gilroy. Now, before you dive into this podcast, there are plenty of ways to build an acca. Some people stick with the favourites, some are convinced they've cracked it, others less sure once the final result goes sideways. However you do it, William Hill lets you boost your football acca, giving you more back when it comes good. Just build the acca you want with four or more legs and William Hill will boost your winnings depending on the number of selections. The boost is applied automatically and shown right there in your bet slip, so you know exactly what you're getting. Whether it's a quiet midweek fixture or a big weekend of football, it's a simple way to get more out of every acca you place. Download the app or visit William Hill to get started today. It's over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, back to the podcast.
Off The Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off The Ball.
Northern Ireland hadn't seen a gold medal for 52 years and then four come along at once, and all from different, like Ireland and Great Britain. I think that's really cool.
Subscribe to the Off The Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
This is Off The Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
But it has been an absolutely jam-packed Christmas. There has been so much going on. A bit of lackluster games as well, though. I think we're not overly excited about what's got on the last few days, but all the same, as something to do, something to watch.
Yeah, it's
good to keep going.
Something to put on the evening, but yeah.
It has been relentless.
I was struggling last night. I watched Liverpool and Leeds, the early kickoff at 5:30, and then the wife wanted to watch Coronation Street for the late kickoff. I wish I'd have watched Coronation Street. The Sunderland and Manchester City game wasn't much better, to be honest with you. Two games yesterday, 2-0 all draws.
Yeah.
Great crack.
Four draws from four games.
It was 3-0 all draws in total, yeah.
Yeah.
I turned on the first half of Liverpool Leeds and I turned it off at half time. I was like, I can't watch this. Went to watch some Welsh rugby or something. I was like, I can't do it.
How'd that go?
Well, I was happy with my decision in the end because it stayed 0-0. Whereas at least there was a few points scored in the rugby. But like, it was a tough watch.
Some of the games I was having to jump over and back between different tabs, and I was like, oh, I wonder if something happened now, and it was like, no, and then all the updates and all the live feeds were just like, yeah, not much happened here, yeah, not much going on, yeah, not great now, yeah, no, nah. I was like, Jesus, there's anything exciting going on. And then of course we had the darts as well, which we were discussing earlier. It's not as captivating as it was in previous years, but I don't know what it is. There was nothing, none of the sport really kind of jumped out this Christmas. There was nothing kind of going, ah, now that's stuck into my head. But I don't know, the darts has just been like, the fact that the booing of Luke Littler was like the kind of dominating all the headlines and kind of seemed to be the biggest story.
I used to love the darts, particularly when Phil Taylor was playing, but I always felt that Phil Taylor, when he was at the top of the tree at darts, like there was a lot of other rivals around and there was a little bit of needle between him and Van Gerwen and Van Barneveld, Painter, whoever you want throughout the years. I don't really get that. Like, Luke Littler's a wonderful player. He's only 18 years of age, but I don't feel there's real needle between him and anybody else. And, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't get me like it used to. Mm. Maybe it's a lack of characters is probably a better way of putting it. I thought Phil Taylor was a brilliant character, but yeah, there's great darts players out there, but there's nobody really that drags me into the sport in terms of what character they are.
Yeah, and I think as well with like the likes of Luke being so young and such a like breaking through when he was like 16 and, you know, being as successful as he was, and then he's up against guys who are significantly older than him as well. So as you mentioned, like I feel like growing up you kind of just knew all the top names, whereas nowadays you kind of nearly have to do a bit more research to figure out who's who.
Yeah.
And you know as well, it's like, you know, Wimbledon's on, you'll be outside playing tennis, or I know when we used to be attempting to play tennis in the farm, and one of us would have to be in the field and the other would be in the driveway, and sure, I was always put in the field, so sure, I was always losing. But you know, it's like for those few weeks we got so engrossed, and even then with the darts growing up, we had the dartboard and it was like we'd play every day because the darts was on. Whereas I don't know, it's like, I do see my little cousins actually out playing darts now, and I kind of wonder, you know, will they get as drawn into it the way we were growing up?
Yeah, well, I try to get me girls into darts all the time, just because the mathematics is brilliant for, you know, your trebles and your doubles and how to work your way down when you're on an odd number. I think it's one of the things I actually struggled when I played darts. I love playing darts, but I struggle with me counting and me checkouts. But yeah, I always try to get me girls into it to try and get them counting properly, but it's an uphill battle. I don't think it's a sport that, you know, you can watch and get really engrossed into it, but It's a little bit like golf. You look people hitting and think, that looks easy enough. And then you put three darts in your hand and you go, ooh, this is a bit difficult.
Oh, yeah. Well, my brother had a dartboard in the back of his bedroom door, and he was in boarding school, so he'd only come home on the weekends. And of course, obviously, I wasn't allowed into his bedroom, like, because he was like, stay out of my room during the week. And I was like, yeah, of course, why would I be in your room? And one Friday, he came home and he was like, I'm thundering up the hall. He's like, have you been using my dartboard? And I was like, no. And then he was like, why is there holes all around the door? And I was like, yeah, maybe.
It's like stepbrothers. Have you been in, you've been playing my drum set?
Absolutely destroying the door. And like, since this day, there's holes all around the door.
You've gone down to the next scene, haven't you, as well, Art? That's why Art is laughing over there.
I should say, though, the semi-finals, of course, we got Littler versus Radaski. I can't even say that. Radaski? Ratowski?
Rakowski?
No, that was last night, yeah.
That was the quarterfinal.
Sorry, yeah, quarterfinal, yeah. And then that, now it's actually against Searle. So we've
Searle
got,
tonight, yeah.
I've wronged the wrong page. That's wrong me. Sorry, it's Luke Littler versus Ryan Searle, and he's heavy metal, 38-year-old. He's the world number 20. He's won 7 PDC titles. And then Gary Anderson's in the other semi-final. He's the Scottish 58-year-old world 14 two-time champ. He's against Van Veen, so might be a bit more exciting tonight.
It's just the thing. Like, I don't even mind. I don't mind the people in it. I don't mind. I like the kind of loved it in the last few years, but it's just the last night particularly was so one-sided. So even from yesterday, I think it was like... I know the results don't always tell the full story, but I think it was like 5-2, 5-2. Was it 5-1, 5-1 last night? 5-0, 5-1 last night.
There was 5-0, yeah.
So there wasn't, it got to a point. It was even the little one, the Humphreys Van Veen game last night, like it was a little bit of tension to it for a while. And then it just kind of pulled away. It just drifts away from you, the game. So there's not that same. There's been no epics since they've kind of extended out at all, really. Which is tough.
It feels very backwards almost, the competition. We had so many good games at the very start, close games even, and there's so many characters. It's just kind of whittled away a bit, but it's still good. It's still a good watch. I don't think it's better than the football right now, to be honest, but like, it's even looking at the semi-finals now, they don't fill you with excitement at all. And even the final, I was saying before the show, I think it nearly has to be Littler versus Gary Anderson to gather any type of excitement now at this point.
And you see as well with Anderson, he obviously played debutant Josh Hood, and I think he gets something like £100,000 for reaching it, and he's opening up a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice.
Something positive to do. He's thinking of the latter stages of his career, really.
Yeah. You know, I actually prefer watching the BDO. Is that the lesser tournament that's in Lakeside?
Yeah. I
prefer watching that. I don't know why. Maybe it's just that it's a bit more FA Cup, a little bit more hustle and bustle. I prefer that one. I don't know why. The BDO and the I just a little bit better for me. I know it's less glitz and glam.
27.
But yeah, 26 and you run up like that. Great darts. Yeah. I love it.
Have we anything else that stood out this Christmas? Was there anything anyone watched or attended that kind of just, you know, made you feel, you know, I enjoyed this, or something you maybe didn't really plan to watch that you sat down for?
Sports wise,
still watched a lot of football. Yeah. Won't get me wrong. Like, and I didn't like the Stephen's Day thing necessarily. Without all the one game and having it so late in the day was kind of detached, because you find you miss other ones when they're going on because you're on the move a bit more. But it's funny how spread out it is now. So it's like we're even talking about there. Like, over the next 10 days or so, all the kind of Premier League teams are playing another 3 games. It's just so condensed. I presume that's to do with the World Cup. Is that starting earlier than usual, or whatever the situation is? I'm not sure what, but I presume there's a bit of a gap, whatever it is. But it's just like, it's so, I don't know if it's normally that condensed where you're going to have, it seems like they have a game every 3 days now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be out the other end of it. Like, we're well past halfway after this window. They'll do about 22 games played. So it'll be, It's a tough one, because it is, you're kind of you're struggling to get a feel for where teams are. We even said about Arsenal, like, it's all of a sudden back to 4 points ahead. But like, it could be either way. You could be out of sight by 3 days' time, or you could be back into second place. Like,
I think as well, because of Christmas and not really knowing, you know, everyone's got that whole Twixmas thing. It's like, what day is it today? It's kind of hard to keep on top of things, I think, because like, it's already like, what day is today? It's Friday.
Yeah.
It's like a week since Christmas already. It's kind of hard to believe. You're kind of going, what day are we at? What exactly is going on? For me, I think I was fairly heavily involved with all the racing this Christmas.
Yeah.
I was working in Limerick and Leopardstown. So I was kind of just very consumed by all of that, and just kind of keep an eye on all the horse. But as I said, we've Danny Mullins coming up in a little while, who his schedule, like jockeys in general, their schedule is just insane. And like, you know, they have, like, it's not like that they just have these like kind of short careers. Like, fair, like a lot of jockeys will stay going on, and then suddenly most of them will end up in kind of training, or some are breeding, or in some shape or form they'll stay in the game. And it's just like, you know, you just watch them there. Like, we were all there in St. Stephen's Day after having a great Christmas of being kind of lazy and just, you know, eating our way around the house. And then suddenly you look at these guys and they're up and they're racing and riding all like for like 4 days straight. And then I think it was on to Doncaster next for Danny and then back for Punchestown and it was Tremore as well. So I'm excited to like learn more about that because it must be like, I just, you know, I think we're so used to the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day traditions of probably socialising and whatnot and meeting family and friends. Like for them, it must be, and even more than the footballers as well, it's like you kind of, like when do you get to enjoy your Christmas?
You don't. You don't.
You just, you got to watch everyone else going, enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
there.
FaceTime everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Yeah, you're enjoying that food. And yeah, I throw my mind back to it. It's very, very easy to throw your mind back to it in those hotels on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. I was only looking at the Sunderland and Manchester City game last night and I thought, when's the last time I played in the stadium? I think it was New Year's Day a couple of years ago, well, a good few years ago in the FA Cup, and I got booked for diving. Phil Bardsley took me down and I got a yellow card for diving, and Allardyce gave out to me. He asked me if I dived. I said no, and once I said no, we had a look at it on the laptop and he realised I didn't dive and he sort of fought me corner. But yeah, last time we played in the stadium, I got booked for diving.
So were you watching that kind of going, was that just what was in the forefront of your mind going, that moment?
Yeah. Yeah, there was an angle where you were like looking across the pitch and the goal was there, and I was on the edge of the 18-yard box and I went to like fake the shoot and took another touch and that's where he took me down and it just hit me as I was sitting there and went, oh God. And I started to tell the wife, but her eyes sort of rolled into the back of her head and I thought, okay, she's not really interested in this.
Hey everybody, it's Off The Ball's Ger Gilroy here. Now, before you dive into this podcast, let me tell you that William Hill have decided racing needed a bit of a shake-up. So they brought in the new Racing Bet Builder. It lets you combine multiple picks from the same race into one personalised bet. Basically, more options, more control, and fewer excuses if your mate's bet beats yours. Pick top three finishes, go head-to-head, or call exact positions all in a single bet. It's racing from a new angle, and it's live now with William Hill. Get the app, start building your bet today. It's over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Does the first part of that happen often?
Which?
Will you have those kind of recollections often enough? Like
every now and then, yeah. Yeah, because my, like, obviously with the drinking for so many years and blacking out an awful lot, my memory's not great, but every now and then something, it's like a little pinball, I just bounce off somewhere and I go, oh yeah, I remember I got booked for diving in that place. And, yeah, great memories every now and then just creep up on you like that.
But do the good memories then come in as well?
Ah, yeah, of course they do. They always do, but with the way my career went, there's so many good highlights, but all of a sudden they're usually followed up with something I did wrong swiftly after. So yeah, the good memories don't last too long. And even though, like, I call that a bad memory, but still a great memory to look back on, getting booked for diving, even though I maintain I didn't dive. I was never a cheater.
We will have to look back at footage now, won't we? We'll have to do a bit of a VR.
Black and white on a tape.
I should remind you, of course, if you want to WhatsApp us as well, not just in YouTube comments, you can get in touch on 087-9180-180. You can send voice notes as well and get involved. Is there anything maybe you watched this Christmas, you saw, you sat down, maybe you looked back on something and you thought, oh yeah, that was the highlight of Christmas, do let us know. Speaking of Christmas, we've spoken a lot about the games we watched or didn't watch. And what about like your actual Christmas? What did you get up to? Where was everyone? Where did you be? Home? Were you not home? Were you here, there, nowhere, working?
Yeah. I was home back in Cavan. I watched a whole lot of movies.
And
to be honest,
jump out.
Ooh, I was saying before the show, I caught up on a lot of classics.
Oh yeah,
but I've been told the classic can't be like
scanned
post 2010.
Yeah, what's your classic?
Now, what's your consideration of a classic?
Classic
mine?
Movie, yeah.
What would a classic have to fulfil?
Probably like something with Audrey Hepburn.
Okay, so you're going right back.
Like I'm classic.
70 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Titanic's probably a classic at this stage.
Yeah, and 30 go, years yeah. old. Yeah, nearly 30 years.
Like, oh, what's Oh, I'm looking at it. It was Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's firmly in there. Yeah.
I mean, that's classic.
I think it's a broader spectrum. Yeah, like I'd watch It's a Wonderful Life over Christmas. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's not what you were saying.
But
though,
I think Interstellar can be considered a classic as well.
Yeah, but that wasn't also what you were saying.
I think it's a broader spectrum than you're giving it credit for. So I watched Interstellar for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah, confusing.
That's watched one set in space, isn't it?
It's like quantum.
Yeah.
I find the space one's a bit.
I watched Inception as well. Inception is hard.
That's
to get
confusing
right.
too. Yeah.
Oh, Leo.
Just Christopher Nolan.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Is that the one where he's going to all different kind of
Yeah,
you really have to pay attention. Yeah. That's one where you can't have your phone in your hand.
Trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Really good film. It's 2020.
Yeah, that was his classic.
Yeah, fair enough. what else did I watch? I watched The Holiday.
Holiday
is an awful film. That is an awful film.
Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet, Jack Black.
Yeah,
and
Jude Law. Yeah, no, that's a terrible film.
You know, people like that cottage is still like top of people's list for, I think it's like nearly a tourist destination at this stage.
That's the case in Notting Hill as well. Did you see residences, whoever's living there, what they wanted to paint their houses black to turn people away from coming and taking pictures outside their houses?
Well, I've taken a picture outside the bookshop.
Oh, yeah. The travel bookshop. Yeah. Terrible film.
You watched a classic or a remake?
No, I went to see Anaconda in the cinema with me kids on Stevens' day, and no, it wasn't great, to be honest. But the 7-year-old loved it. I suppose that was the main aim. He came out, thought it was great. So yeah, I wouldn't be recommending it. I wonder if did anybody see that Four Christmases I was talking about with Vince Vaughn?
No.
What a film. What a Christmas film. That's unbelievable. But I didn't really get into films. I watched Ben-Hur with me stepfather. I watched that in the sitting room, just knocking around watching that as we were making dinner. But yeah, I don't really watch films. I go for stuff like Only Fools and Horses and The Royal Family. Mm. I do all that sort of stuff. I know it's very British, but spent a lot of time in England, so yeah.
No, Only Fools and Horses is a firm favourite in our house. And watched the Chase and Catchphrase and all those game shows. I feel like a Catchphrase was on every single day, all day long. But yeah, we watched a lot of TV shows. I watched Love Actually before Christmas because I'm obsessed with Hugh Grant.
Watched on Christmas,
Mad about Hugh Grant. I'm mad about that Hugh Grant, but I watched that movie with him during the year. Do you know the one where he's kind of not really Hugh Grant?
Heretic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't really enjoy that as much because I wasn't getting my Hugh Grant experience.
He wasn't quite himself in that, no.
No, he wasn't like floppy-haired British boy. But I did watch Love Actually. And then, what did I watch actually a few days ago?
Notting Hill.
Barbie. I watched Barbie. And The Greatest Showman. Forgot how good The Greatest Showman was.
The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, it's a good film.
I was singing along. I was like, thank God I was home alone, because if anyone could hear me, I was probably... There's windows cracked after me, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack, yeah.
And then The Snapper was on last night, I think it was, but I was too busy prepping for today and I didn't get to watch it, but that's a classic.
I like The Snapper, yeah. The van. I was going to watch Interstellar. I was actually flying to Dubai when Interstellar came out and my wife watched it and she looked at me with tears in her eyes after the film and went, you need to watch this. Yeah. And I went, nah, you're all right. It tore me off it.
That's class.
It's emotional.
It is. Yeah, towards the end. Yeah,
she was weeping. I think I'm thinking of
Armageddon.
Are you just going, nah?
Yeah, no, I don't get invested in things like that. It's not for me.
It's reaching some of the tears.
Yeah. It is a good 3 hours long, though. You kind of have to be right in it when you're watching it.
You wouldn't want to watch on a plane either.
Yeah, she was in it like headrest there.
Yes.
Are there any movies?
Yeah. We watched Notting Hill. That was on New Year's Day, I think. It was on midnight just after. That was class. It was great to rewatch that. Grease.
Ah, brilliant.
It's one of the few musicals I'll sit through.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. It really is just brilliant. It doesn't age. It's fantastic. Other films, I don't know. Started watching Elvis. Not for me. Didn't enjoy it too much. Don't like that Baz Luhrmann type style. It's just too extra. But like you were saying, then an awful lot of Chase. I can't understand how they've recorded so many episodes of that, they keep going.
I don't know how they have so many questions.
Beat the Chasers, that's good for that. There was a really good Live Aid documentary.
Oh.
They were showing it on Virgin. It's like a four-parter or something. That was pretty good. They like had everyone.
Yeah, I watched Queen, now that you say that, over the Christmas.
They had everyone. It was class. Like, it was really well made. But that's about the height of it. Like, it wasn't, there was nothing else. Like, Home Alone obviously was there at some stage. I think they played that on Christmas Eve. But that was about the height of it.
Got a few fillers between while I was waiting for matches. You were going to watch Saipan?
Yeah, I'm going tonight. Oh. Yeah, me and the wife have a date night tonight. I'm going to the cinema to watch Saipan out in the Stella cinema. I've never been to it, but the wife says it's great, so I'm looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it.
It looks lovely, and I actually the cinema looks lovely. I haven't seen much about the movie, but I know you were speaking about it, Arthur, with Mick.
Mick's seen it. Yeah, I don't know if he's so you're saying it's not out yet. He's seen it anyway.
Maybe
whatever it is.
Yesterday, I'll double check now. I'm pretty sure the release date is today.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to be.
Today, yeah.
I don't want to be. I've not seen it, so I can't have an opinion on it. But I know from his point of view, he was like, it's not bad. It's not a bad film. But it's just that where you know all the details of what went on, you're inevitably probably going to see the issues and stuff that isn't true and bits of that, pieces like that. Mm. I know he said that the one thing that kind of irked him was the portrayal of Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of presents him as a bit of sort of shy, retiring type, or a bit timid.
He's played, of course, by Steve Coogan, isn't he?
Yeah. And I don't know Mick McCarthy if he's changed in the last 24 years, but like, he certainly doesn't come across as
no
shy, retiring type.
No.
At all. I mean, he's pretty pretty self-confident fella. Yeah. So like, I don't know. Like, but obviously you have to make a film out of it. You have to tell a story and everything. I think they leave some of the players looking like Egypts as well, Mick was saying.
Oh, okay. I believe they use like a lot of actual real coverage as well, which I think
that's nice to see mixed in.
I think he said it right. It was really well produced and directed. So you'll have to let us know, Keith.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Right,
you want a documentary on it. I know I said this the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you want like a, be it a Last Dance or the O.J. Simpson one, like there's such a big story there to tell.
Yeah, enormous. There's so much to it. Yeah.
You just never get probably Roy Keane to do it. So that's
even the people around him. Imagine getting Damien Duff to sit down and Shay Given and Richard Dunn and saying, look, what happened, lads? And I think it'd be brilliant. 2002 is a huge highlight in Irish football and history for me. Obviously, I was born in 88, so Italia 90 sort of passed me by, but 2002 Saipan is something that lit a fire in me to go on and be a footballer. So I'm hooked. I can't wait for Saipan tonight.
Do you know what I'd say? I'm interesting because I think in 2002, yeah, I was in school. I'm 89 and like we just, our teacher was unbelievable. Like the TV got rolled in anytime there was matches on and was like, okay, we're all going to watch this now. And we were so invested. And I remember we just all knew all the players and like the, do you remember we get the sticker books and it was just huge. And I, what, 2002? So what age were we? Trying to work out the maths. I'm so bad at maths. I need to start playing darts.
13 years.
Working on my maths.
I was 11.
You just say check whenever you're on the check.
And the fella tells you. 180.
Hey everybody, it's Off the Ball's Ger Gilroy here. Now before you dive into this podcast, let me tell you that William Hill have decided racing needed a bit of a shake-up. So they brought in the new Racing Bet Builder. It lets you combine multiple picks from the same race into one personalised bet. Basically, more options, more control, and fewer excuses if your mate's bet beats yours. Pick top three finishes, go head-to-head, or call exact positions all in a single bet. It's racing from a new angle, and it's live now with William Hill. Get the app, start building your bet today. It's over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Of course, keep your comments coming in on YouTube and WhatsApp as well. We'll take a little look at the papers here. First up, we got the Irish Independent. Back pages leave it. Slot bemoans lack of bite as toothless Reds left frustrated. I mean, I think a lot of the back page headlines are pretty much about how lacklustre the games were. In his 84th game in charge, Arne Slot witnessed his first 0-0 draw as Liverpool manager, but having spent £450 million last summer in a bid for open, exciting, attacking football, his team delivered a stodgy, slow start to 2026. I think we're all in agreement to that, are we?
I think they're getting... it's very interesting what'll happen there. I say Liverpool fans are a little bit fed up, but like there's kind of all circumstances and stuff and...
Yeah.
You kind of can explain it one way or another, but it's like it's pretty... like when you see the Leeds team that was picked... With the, I'd say partially with the Man United match in mind, like not starting Calvert-Lewin and stuff.
Yeah.
Jeez, I was, you were like, there was no doubt in my mind it was like Liverpool will win that. They'll win that handy enough. And it's just, I could not believe it that they couldn't score. It was nearly lost it. I know Calvert-Lewin was offside at the end.
Yeah, the damning thing for Slot is the one thing, and the words we're using now with this Liverpool team are slow. They're very, very slow in build-up play. They look reluctant to be able to go through the gears and play in sixth gear, to play 100 mile an hour. I heard it described last night as boring and slow. Yeah. Under Klopp, that was never... You would never describe Liverpool as boring. Very rarely would you say they were slow in build-up. So I don't like that type of stuff. It's obviously keeping the ball for keeping the ball's sake. They average just over 61% possession, which ranks them as the best possession-based team in the Premier League, yet they're fifth for goals scored. So what's the point in keeping the ball? I don't know why people have this weight in possession, thinking, well, we keep the ball for this amount and, you know, we're such a great team. If you're not being productive with it, then there's no point in having it. I think we should give Leeds an awful lot of credit. They've become harder to beat over the last couple of weeks. But when you've got Florian Virtue, that was his 19th game the other day. He's returned one goal and one assist in the league. McAllister started on the bench. He's played 18 games this season in the league. No goals and two assists, and his all-round performance has come down. Van Dijk, Salah. The only one that you're looking at in the Liverpool squad, or sorry, two, is Szoboszlai and Ekitike. The rest of them are all underperforming. So if I was to say to you that, you know, the tragic passing of Diogo Jota is going to happen, Van Dijk's going to be off colour, Salah's going to be awful and go to AFCON, the World Cup winner McAllister's going to be bang average, and the new 100 million signing, Isak is going to break his leg, and Virch is not going to be great, everybody would look and go, oh, well, Liverpool are going to be mid-table. The fact that they're still in the Champions League positions is like, they're probably doing well considering how poor it's been.
I mean, they've had a pretty, pretty awful time with it. You know, you say it all there together and read it all out loud. It's just like, you know, they've had an absolutely horrendous time. Of course, losing Diogo Jota was probably, you know, it's clearly life-changing for the whole squad as well. And just to see them all and how that's affected not just the Liverpool community, but the entire football community as well. So, you know, it's just something I suppose they've had to contend with now and try to literally keep going, because at the end of the day, they have to stay working. Irish Daily Mail, Chelsea's chase, of course. There's a lot going on there now. Scrappy new year. Leads with Liam Rosner is the leading contender to become Chelsea's new head coach after the shock exit of Enzo Maresca yesterday. You were saying this earlier, Keith. You can't believe they didn't have a plan B in place.
Yeah, I just think it's strange when you're a club the size of Chelsea, when obviously they want to part ways with Enzo Maresca. That's no problem. That's their prerogative. They want to deal with that by all means. But when Maresca knocks on the door and they're saying, look, we're going to part our ways. No, why not say, look, give us another 10 days and we'll go and get our house in order and then he can leave. I mean, it's no big deal. The fact that maybe Liam Rossini was signed later today and it was all done in the background, but to go from Enzo Maresca, and I know Enzo Maresca wasn't a huge name when he got the Chelsea job. He got promoted with Leicester in his fourth season, done really well. But Liam Rossini coming in, if it is to be him, just seems like a little bit of a downgrade. And I'm not sure the Chelsea fans are going to be thinking, OK, let's have Liam Rossini. 41 years old at Strasbourg at the minute. They're seventh in Ligue 1. So not exactly setting the world on fire, although he's, you know, a Pep disciple and he's come through that way. I know he lost his job at Hull because him and the board had different ideas on how to play football. But look, when you look at Chelsea, I look at them and think there's an awful lot to like. Look at João Pedro, Neto, Enzo Fernandez, Caicedo, Palmer, Cucurella, Reece James and Estevao are some of the best players in and around Europe. So you have a spine there of all young 20-year-olds. Estevao is only 18. But there's a handful of players you can build your squad around. And I know Chelsea will say, oh, well, Estevao hasn't done well this season. Sell him for 50 million. Get the next fella in for 65 million. Get another manager in. You need a spine. Every successful team I've ever played for, we had a spine, and there was one or two that if they trained well might come in or out. Chelsea just seems like a flip of a coin who's going to play and who's going to be the manager. So I think they're actually doing as well as can be expected given the amount of off the field stuff. But I think Enzo Maresca can leave with his head high, and I don't think he hasn't been sacked. He's walked away or a mutual consent, but he hasn't left because of footballing reasons, because to be fifth in the Premier League in his second season and competing against the might of some of the Premier League teams, I think he's doing absolutely fine. And he won the Club World Cup, won the Conference League, he's in the semi-final of the EFL Cup, he's still in the FA Cup, he's 13th in the Champions League, he will get into the knockout phases, and they're fifth in the Premier League. So it's not footballing reasons.
No, but you are saying earlier that there's kind of, I guess, some like rumours going around about other teams, so perhaps it kind of annoyed the...
Yeah, it was strange.
The ones on top.
It all just seemed a little bit immature. Enzo Maresca went to Chelsea and said, look, you know, I've been speaking to Manchester City, and it looked like Chelsea have gone, well, that's disrespectful. You shouldn't have done that. You have 3 years left on your deal, which I totally get. But it didn't seem like it had to end this way. Oh, well, now you have to go. You've had a chat with somebody else. You've got to go. It didn't have to be like that. But obviously, Chelsea being Chelsea, I think, like, I don't see a huge name coming in, you know, like a Klopp or, you know, Pep Guardiola or anybody like that, because I think the next manager in at Chelsea is going to be dictated to from above. Mm-hmm. And I don't think big names would have that. Whereas a Liam Rossini or somebody who's still, you know, plying his trade as a top, top manager, maybe he would be dictated a little bit too. So maybe it would be the right move for Chelsea as a club. But I think if you're a player within that dressing room and Enzo Maresca leaves and Liam Rossini comes in, at 41 years of age, having not really done anything in terms of managerial stuff, it's hard to get that dressing room on side when they're probably not millionaires, they're probably billionaires in that dressing room. So trying to get those into line is going to be difficult.
And as well, just because it's all happening, as you mentioned, like, could they not have given a bit of a breathing space where they kind of said, right, let's put a plan in place here, because, you know, they are, of course, in the middle of all these, the league now and everything, and it's just like, would you not, you know, have a bit of a plan, because it's just it's just so messy. Because I know at the end of the day, it's treat, they look at it as a business, and it's all like a business deal and money and whatnot. But, like, you know, it can't be like, it's like any business or any office in anywhere. Like, if there's a change in management, like at the drop of a hat, it does kind of change the ripple effect throughout the whole employees and everything. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's just.
I tell you, the only thing, to be fair, because it's Keith's point as well with the number of games, like, you're just looking at it like there's no, they don't have a break.
Mm.
They have no break. Yeah. There's literally, they have, like, they're going to be playing every 3-4 days from now till the end of the season. It was,
and
funny,
obviously played in the Club World Cup as well. Club, so very World little Cup. Break.
Yeah,
they'll go through. They probably, as you're saying, they might, even if they don't finish in the top eight in the Champions League, there's an extra two games.
Yeah.
And I'm just, it was funny, we were looking at it the other day, and I don't know if these, some of these will change maybe based on, I suppose, how the season goes, but their running at the end of the season is atrocious. It's shocking. Like, so, like, again, these are probably subject to change, but, like, from 1st of March, it'll go in the order of Arsenal away, Villa away, home to Newcastle, Everton away, home to City, home to United, away to Brighton, Forest, Liverpool away, Spurs at home, Sunderland away. They're running into the season. It could be chronic. So I'd say it's probably a case of just doing whatever they have to do now.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird thing. Because the same thing with you, Liverpool. Like, it's not like you'd be, like, they're letting them, it's not, they've been good, like, but they're still kind of inexplicably there in fifth and looking up and kind of like, geez, we're still in a good spot here.
Yeah.
It's kind of, and they're not, I'm sure they're not paying too much attention to Man United behind them. And same Sunderland, like, it's probably a bit of an outlier. You're like, we should be finishing above them. So they're probably oddly kind of safe enough. It's probably a safe enough shot. But I think the senior thing is kind of mad.
Mm.
I think it's just such a risk.
Yeah,
you risk throwing the whole thing up. Like,
it's a massive risk. I honestly, like, I've been in dressing rooms. I hate sounding out loud because it makes footballers seem a little bit weird. But it's hard to get a dressing room on side. Even if you're a big name and somebody who's done an awful lot as a player, as obviously Liam Rossini has, he's had a very good footballing career. To go in when lads are on 7 and 8 year deals and try and wrestle that place in and say, look, you need to be fitter, you need to be leaner. It's hard. It's so hard, and they're all looking, going, well, are you going to make me do it? Because you have a 2 year deal, I have an 8 year deal.
Yeah.
There's only going to be one person here at the end of this. And I just think you've got to have something about you. You're going to have to get all those lads on side. And like I say, there's millionaires, billionaires in there, and there's ego. So it's going to be difficult for Liam Rossini to get those lads into line if it is to be Liam Rossini.
That's, I kind of wondered, you mentioned there about the big egos and just trying to, like, literally win players over and get them onto your belief system, whether it's him or not, or whoever they bring in. And you just kind of have to wonder as well, like, for the likes of the players, I know nowadays obviously they are worth so much money and they probably are very much so protected from the likes of the media and the fans. But, like, how protected are they from it? Like, you know, how can they focus on what's in front of them without having to literally see all that's in the papers? And I know they obviously don't buy papers and they probably say they don't look at their phones, but at the end of the day, there's still talk going on. And whether it's your friends coming in to your house that evening going, oh, did you see this? Or did you hear this? Like, how do they kind of, I wonder, keep themselves in that bubble, or can they, like, or what, you know?
It can be done. Yeah. A lot of it is to do with social media and, you know, people in WhatsApp groups sending you things. I'm not on social media because of that that particular reason. Yeah. I would play games and there'd be, if I scored a goal, there'd be 100 nice comments, but I would be fixating on the bad comment. For whatever reason, I would just be fixating on it, and it would mean more to me than the other 100 nice comments. So I made a decision in my head, look, social media is not for me. It's just not for me. Yeah. So if you're a footballer and you want to get away from it, and you know, the club's just lost their manager, and you know, the social media could be going a little bit crazy, just take yourself away from it. I remember when Sean Dyche got the Burnley job, he just said, no social media. It was as simple as that. And there was no, oh, how can you do that? We all have a right to have social media. We all just went, yeah, okay, no problem. And everything was great. And then it sort of leaked in. And then it was, do not talk about football on your social media. You talk about football and something we don't like, we're going to come down like on a hammer on you. So for me, if you're a footballer, I know they've got little sponsorships and stuff like that. But if you're a Premier League footballer, money's not really an issue. Yeah. So come away from social media. They there's an awful lot of bad on it.
They probably have social media managers as well, would they? That they probably just post their hashtag ads, hashtag.
I'd imagine so, but still, it's not something, if you're not going to physically be doing it, then you're giving it to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's just a hassle in your life that you don't really need. And like I say, I'm not on social media, but whenever things like this get clipped up, people would send them to me. Oh, Keita said this, Keita said that. And a lot of the bad stuff as well, the Premier League Fantasy 11 I did, I got hurled out of it because I JJ caught you in the middle of the park. And then my brother, people always sending me things. So it can be done. It's difficult in this modern day. It's difficult to bury your head in the sand, but it can be done.
Are you more exposed now? So say obviously you're doing bits and pieces here, bits and pieces everywhere else. Are you more exposed now than as a player?
Probably, yeah. Actually, probably I am. And it's mad because it doesn't really bother me because people come in. Football's a game of opinions. I think this, somebody else will think something else. And as long as you have a decent debate about it, that's no problem. People coming in over the top with two-footed challenges when you say something is a little bit mental. But I love talking about football. It's not lost on me how you know, lucky I am to be doing this for a living. So I love talking about football, but I think we all should have a little bit more time for each other. Look at my 2026 resolution. Now, we all have a little bit more time for each other.
You said you wouldn't have any goals. There you go. We have a great one. It's funny because we did say, it's actually funny, earlier I did try tag you in a post I was putting up about the show, and I think a yoga instructor came up and I was like, is he a yoga instructor on the site? Is he? I was like, I don't know if he is or not, but I won't tag that page just in case.
Well, that's where me and the wife were saying, we go to Australia, Americans, like, you know, they check your social media. Imagine me going through red alert. This fella has no social media. What's he on about?
They'd be like, he's definitely not coming in.
Red alert.
The Mirror has dry January, City stalemate, one of three goalless draws. I'm sure we were just talking about there and how Manchester City missed a chance to narrow the gap to leaders Arsenal as prize package. Sunderland dealt a blow to their title hopes. And then, of course, bitter ends, talking again about Maresca as well. There's also quite a lot on the back pages about Ulster. And, of course, we'll be talking to you in a while, Dara, about the rugby fixtures and what else going on. And of course I left all the big ones to last. Again, it's all about Chelsea dominating here again. The Irish Examiner, all about, it's pretty much just the football that's dominating all the back pages. So it has been, it's just, I guess it's kind of dominated our whole Christmas, really.
It has, and it will, but it's like it's so prevalent now, like it's just in general. Like it's everything kind of comes second to it, and maybe it's not like that if you're not, I suppose, looking for it, if you're not interested in it, but it is, it's funny, like it just dictates
everything. Stephen's Day, there being one game, that was the biggest talking point.
It was just,
there was loads of sports on it.
What
was
are we meant to do for the rest of the day?
I wish there was more football on.
Yeah, it is, but it's a strange thing now, because it is, I'm just looking at it, like I don't remember. It's just going to be such a crazy few months. And then when you throw the Ireland thing in the middle of it, I don't know, is it different? I think it might be a little bit different just because we have a genuine kind of openness. It's not like last year. Because I'd say this time last year, Liverpool were already kind of home and hosed the wee bit. It didn't look like anyone was going near them. And now you have a literal thing where like everything is wide open. It just feels, I forgot like about things like the League Cup. Like just League Cup. And they're generally very good, those semi-finals and stuff. So much going on. Europe's coming back. And again, then in about like 3 months' time, we'll have Ireland. And that's going to be the biggest thing in the world.
And the League of Ireland is just, over a month away, is it? The 6th to 6th of February that starts.
Jesus,
Speaking of Ireland, Josh Cullen has picked up an ACL injury.
Did you pick up an ACL?
Huh?
Huh? Do you pick up an ACL? Oh. It's a good terminology thing, I wonder. I wonder, do you pick up? Because I'm not trying to be. That's such a dickhead thing to do. But I'm just wondering the phraseology. Oh, just, yeah. It does, yeah.
What would you say?
I think it's too serious. Suffered. Pick up sounds. Pick up, yeah, suffered.
An ACL.
Suffered would be my OT. Sounds a bit more. Picked up doesn't sound too. Pick up the flu, like. Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of flu, a lot of people picked that up this Christmas. Adam Ida as well, injured. On Stephen's Day with the hamstring injury, so.
But not to trivialise, sorry, Josh Cullen, that's a shocking story.
It's
a shocking.
Disaster.
Like, it's literally a disaster. I mean, you know, we're talking about, like, the next few months, as you mentioned, the country's just going to probably lose the run of itself.
He's a bad miss, like.
I'm only waiting for somebody to say, Keith, do you think we should drop Nathan Collins in there?
Yeah,
you'll get with Jarra next week.
I saw talk of Bolton and Lowell jumping straight in. I was like, I can't just throw him in there. In a playoff, first cap, put him centre defensive mid. I don't know who's the obvious replacement, though. Like, is it just Mullumby when you have him back? Like, you kind of nearly feel like you have to switch up the midfield a little bit, though. Because there was no one else playing his role.
I think just for the kind of player he is, like in the level he's playing at, like you don't really replace that. Like, and he's not the most, like, not to be hard, he's not like he's the most gifted,
no,
like dictating everything in there, but just like a guy who's familiar at playing at that level.
Yeah.
He just hit form for us as well. Just hit form.
A lot of experience, like, yeah. And Adam Eade as well, like, which is kind of probably he doesn't start anyway. Realistically, but like it's an option gone.
Yeah.
If either of the two lads, like, and Troy Parrott will be playing loads in between, we don't know what Evan Ferguson will be doing in between.
Protect Troy Parrott at all costs.
Yeah. It's just, it's a rough out. You don't want to see that happening.
Everyone get the rosary beads out. And everyone who, even if you don't pray, start praying now. Yeah. Protect the rest of them at all costs. It's like.
You do get a feeling that there probably will be a couple more as well, which you don't want to obviously say.
Bound to happen.
It's a long time away. It's still 3 months away.
Especially it's when we've so many players in the, I suppose, Football League as well. Like, we're just going to have to talk about the Premier League. Like,
well, it's so difficult to try and preview it because we have absolutely no idea what the Irish team would be. Like you say, Cullen would have been a starter. Adam Eade would have been in and around it. The one person we're all looking at is Troy. Jesus, don't Troy. No, don't Troy. We don't need Troy getting injured. And if Evan Ferguson can hit some form, Nathan Collins is starting to look a little bit more solid as well. Queeveen is making big saves for Ireland. There's a lot to like, but we need all the lads fit and fired and playing games. And thankfully, the large majority are. But Cullen will be a miss. He will be a miss.
No, it is. It's going to be devastating. And you see as well, though, actually, when Troy Parrott landed back to the airport at Christmas time, he arrived in. It was just the crowds and everything. It was amazing. Oh, it was like, he's like, obviously he's like.
Oh, they have a break, do they?
Yeah, they get a break.
Yeah.
Small break.
I know. Yeah, see, you shake your head, Art. I shook mine as well. I was like, that's not real football. Should be suffering over the Christmas.
What do they do?
Having a great
day. Watch. Yeah.
Troy Parrott can do whatever Troy Parrott wants to do. If he wants to have Christmas dinner like everyone else, he can have Christmas dinner like everyone else. Also want to give a note to Denise O'Sullivan. I think it was in the Cork Echo that apparently she is going to be coming back this side, but to Liverpool. So she's obviously been in the States for years. I think she's just turned 31 and she's looking to maybe kind of play out the latter stages of her career in the UK. So that's the kind of rumours that have been floating around so far.
Yeah. I was saying, it does feel kind of weird because it's great, a great move for her to get back over to the WSL, but it feels kind of backwards in how she's gone about things. Obviously, the American League over there is much more prominent than the men's, but it feels a little bit backwards in that she spent so much time in America in her prime years. Now, she's still playing great football, obviously, but she's coming back over to England now for her final 4 or 5 seasons, however long she plays. It's like, you could have had some great years over here. We could get over to watch games more often and things like that. But great move for her all the same. Like, there's a great Irish contingent in the WSL, so she can only add to that. And I think it makes life a little bit easier as well for the Irish management to keep an eye on her as well.
For sure, yeah. It is probably with Ireland hat on as well that you just, like, I presume, like, reducing, like, that travel time can't be great.
No.
Like, I don't know what the flight time, she was in Carolina, and she said, I don't know what the flight time was or and back, but like,
is there even a direct flight?
Probably not. I don't know, unless...
If there is, there's not one every day anyway.
Seasonally.
Yeah, probably not. You probably are doing two. And it's just like, you're probably wanting to maximise your time with Ireland. Like, maybe that's not, maybe she's not thinking that way. You just kind of assume players are thinking that way, that that's probably her priority. So like, Jesus, be life-changing.
Mm.
Like half, well, obviously Cork, a little bit longer than half an hour from home, but like 45, 50 minute flight from home. all of a sudden, like everything, you're so close to Dublin, you're so close to everything, it's just be life changing. You'd guess that's it, but it is your kind of strange dynamic coming back. Like it's, I don't know, because obviously I'm not watching. I don't know what the style of football is where she's playing at the minute, like, but you'd kind of guess the WSL is fairly frenetic as well. Like it's tough enough on the body, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's a strange place to come. Yeah, but I'm sure like it's, we'll see if it comes to pass.
Even just, I think, being in, as you mentioned, in around so close to home, and you said there, like, people will probably be willing to travel more and watch the games.
Yeah,
and
it's a 40-minute flight, like, yeah.